Thank you for showing up this morning. We've got a great service here planning for you this morning. I want to thank you here for joining us, and for Teen Challenge that will be joining us here later. But let's start off the service by opening our hymn books and opening or and singing the song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus.
Thank you. hiding around doing everything back there for us this morning. So it's in the bulletin. Rondi, you got it now? Thank you. He's doing everything back there. Closer to the mic. Okay. All right. I saw that. So anyway, here's our verse. You know, as I was looking over this verse this morning when I came, I was thinking of how important, you know, we, the sheep, the pasture, the women, and the other people know about. So let's say it through a couple of times, and I trust that you're putting this to memory as well. Then we, your people, the sheep of your pasture, will praise you forever.
From generation to generation, we will recount your praise. Psalm 79:13.
Let's say it again.
Then we, your people, the sheep of your pasture, will praise you forever. From generation to generation, we will recount your praise. Psalm 79:13.
No, I was thinking of this morning as I was thinking of Teen Challenge coming. When I was in college, and this was a few years back, because I've already celebrated 50 years of graduating from college, and I don't know why I'm almost that old, but I remember one time we had some young guys that came to our college campus in Fort Wayne. Teen Challenge. And I'm not sure that was the very beginning of Teen Challenge, but I remember sitting there and some of the young fellows, they stayed in the dormitory with us. And I want you to know that, and I thank God that I grew up in a Christian home. Amen. But some of the young fellows from Teen Challenge, they shared with us how they had been alcoholics since they had been 8 years of age. And it's just something that I had a terrible time just grasping. But God did something in their lives and changed them. And I always wonder, you know, how many of them are serving the Lord, you know. I know for a while we had a pastor and I had some young people at camp. And their last name was Cruz. And I said, are you in a relationship to Nicky? Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. He's our uncle. So anyway, I got to know some of them as well. So we want to talk to the Lord in prayer. We want to thank Him. There's a lot of prayer requests on your prayer guide, and you want to pray for them. You want to lift these people before the Lord throughout the week, and let the Lord minister to them. And I know that we have several people that are ill and not able to make it this morning, so we'll remember them as well. So let's talk to the Lord this morning, y'all. Heavenly Father, in the quietness of these moments, we become aware that God wants to speak to our hearts this morning hour. We thank you for the joy that we have of being able to share the good news of Jesus Christ with a lost and a dying world. Lord, there are people that are struggling with emotional issues today because of the tremendous amount of fire out on the West Coast. And in the Gulf, they're awaiting another hurricane. And the pandemic is over the world. Yet, Lord, through it all, we find our hope in Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for each and every person that's here this morning because we're here because we have a divine appointment, and God is going to minister to us today. Thank you, Lord, for caring for us and ministering to us, because we're here. In Jesus' name, to hear from you. We pray these things in your powerful name. Amen. Amen.
Well, it's my pleasure to introduce you to Teen Challenge. They come from
period here. And so a lot of these guys come from around the area. I'm sure they're going to get a little testimony here. And they were practicing this morning with their songs and submitted especially to the songs as well. And so I invite you guys to come up and share with us this morning.
Good morning.
Everybody hear me?
So it's great to be here. This is we haven't had a lot of opportunity to get in church this year because of the pandemic. So we're very grateful to be here today and to be able to come in and fellowship with you guys. I just want to take a second, and this is the first opportunity that I've had to be able to do this. And you know, the Lord says, "Give honor where honor is due." And for most of you, as you know, the last time we were here, which was just over a year ago, I believe, we were in the process of building our new center and getting in. And praise God, we got that completed in November. And we got the guys moved into a wonderful new facility. The difference between this new facility and the old facility are day and night. It also gives us the opportunity to really serve double, almost triple the number of men that we have to help bring people to Christ. Now, it's been a crazy time this year for all of us. So if you see this number, this doesn't reflect what we're capable of, but this is where we're at because of the pandemic. But God's still in the business of transforming lives, amen? He has a plan. But I want this church to know that, you know, our number one tool in our toolbox is prayer. Right, and one thing that speaks to me, and you've all heard this, one body, many parts. One body, many parts. Okay, so, and he may get a little mad at me, but that's okay. But you have an individual in this church that came alongside of us and really showed the love of Jesus Christ in his heart. He represented your church. You couldn't have asked for a better person to represent your church in that love. He was instrumental in helping us accomplish what we needed to get this building done. He was there sacrificing his time off on Saturdays. So I just want to recognize Brother Ron. I've got a lot of pictures of you up on scaffolding hanging tonight. With frost coming out of your brow. So, Brother Brown, we're grateful, and I'm glad I got the opportunity to let you know that today. So as we continue on with the service this morning, I just, you know, let me ask this question. And this is Groveland, but we're in the area. How many of you have seen the negative results of alcohol or substance abuse in your community, in your family, a friend, or in the workplace? Everybody raise your hand. And so you see how significant it is. It's not just in the metropolitan areas. It's in the rural areas. It's everywhere. It does not discriminate. And, you know, now that we're dealing with pandemic times, it's even getting worse. Because when this all started, and this is just for me, man, 90% of the guys that complete our program that have a slip or a fall, it's because they weren't able to go to church. They stopped going to church. So when the pandemic hit, that shut down the churches. That has a significant impact. Then you have isolation. You have people losing jobs. You watch the news, you see people out there doing food banks for the first time ever. And so with that comes a lot more alcohol abuse, substance abuse, hopelessness. But it doesn't have to be. We have hope in Jesus Christ, amen? Mm-hmm. So listen, if you know somebody out there, a member, a community member, or whatever, there is hope. There is hope. And this is the face of hope right here. So let's just hope that their testimonies touch your hearts in a specific way. As we give glory to God, let their songs just really give glory to God for what he does in our lives. But we're excited to be here, and thank you for having us. So I'm going to bring up my first testimony, Brother Graham.
29 years old. I was born and raised up near O'Hare Airport in the northwest suburbs of Chicago. And I have younger sisters, 4 years younger than I am, and two parents who are still married to this day. Was raised in a good Bible-believing church, so I was very blessed for that because, as you'll hear a little bit, I can't imagine where my life would have gone had I not had parents that instilled that in me at a young age. I found a lot of my fulfillment and satisfaction in things that I accomplished and things that I did, mostly athletics and academics, and so my life wasn't extremely difficult and challenging growing up, probably until I hit the end of high school. I was diagnosed with some autoimmune diseases, and after 7 surgeries on my abdomen, I got addicted to opiate pain medication. And that led me down a road that I never thought someone like me would go down. I never experienced something that had such control over me, even when I knew what I was doing was the wrong thing. Growing up, earthly consequences were enough to stop me from doing the wrong thing. And so when I knew abusing this medication was wrong, and yet I still chose to give in and do it day in and day out, over and over and over, making excuses and rationalizations to justify my behavior, it scared me because for the first time, maybe ever, I didn't have the will or the wherewithal within myself to just stop sinning, to stop doing the wrong thing, even though I knew that it was killing me. And when I said it was killing me, it really was. I overdosed twice in a 24-hour period. The first time completely on accident. The second time was maybe 4 or 5 hours after I had gotten out of the hospital. First, I went back to the same drugs that put me in there just moments earlier. And so it took all logic and it took all rational thinking away from the person that God created me to be, that my parents tried to raise. And so I have given it my best shot in every which way, went down every avenue possible to stay sober and to be clean. And I stand before you today guaranteeing that Jesus is the only way, the truth and the life, the only way that someone like me can stay sober. And it's not just a knowing about Jesus, but it's applying the biblical truths and tools that I've been taught and that I've learned even in this program, and actually applying them to my life in a consistent way. And so it reminds me of a verse, and I'll leave you with a scripture that talks a lot about hope, because when I was in my addiction, hope was scarce, and at least personally speaking, when hope starts to leave, there's really not much of a reason to live anymore. And so in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28 through 31, it says, "Do you not know, have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. His understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the powerless and increases the might of the weak. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not be faint." So I stand before you today with hope, because Jesus has done a work in me and continues to do it that not only do I not deserve, but that has actually given me the power and the strength to be clean and sober before you today. So thank you.
Tim, are you going to operate that?
No. Go ahead. Press play.
I'll bet if we put a hammer in Ron's hand, he'll have that equipment straightened out for a time.
Thank you.
They sound pretty good, don't they? Yeah. And considering it's been months since we've been able to do this, I think you guys sound awesome. So give another hand. So, amazing grace. How many of you have experienced amazing grace in your life? I'm a firm believer 100% that there's nothing we can do to earn it, that He gives it to us freely. But for me, it is the prerequisite of every single thing that happens in our life, because if it were not for the grace of Jesus Christ, we wouldn't be here. Amen? So listen, I want to take a second and just have the guys introduce themselves. Name and how long you've been here, brother.
My name is Nathan. I've been here 2 months.
Dalton Johnson, I've been here 3.5 months.
James is three other here, 2.5 months.
My name is Brad, I've been here a little over 2 months.
My name is Derek Barrett, I've been here 4 months.
My name is Ryan Stone, I've been here almost 7 months.
My name is Jonathan Folger, I've been here a while.
My name is Jeremy Hernandez, I've been here 3 years.
Grant Grossman, a little over 2 months.
Josh Latar, I've been here about 2 months.
Alright. These guys could not have chosen a more difficult time to come into Team Challenge. They have really gone through it this year, and I'll share a little bit more as we get into the service, but praise God that they recognize the opportunity, that they're taking advantage of it, and that they're following through and they're looking at their goal set before them. Amen? Amen. I want to bring up my next testimony, Brother Brad.
Good morning. I'm Brad Dalton. I'm 54. I live outside of Galesburg, so I'm a country boy. And I'm 54. I'm the old guy. Younger, so I'm just saying. Anyway, it's a pleasure to be here this morning. It's a pleasure to be sober. A little over 2 months ago, I was not. I lived a life of addiction, and alcohol was my drug of choice for probably over 30 years. Let's see, I took my first drink at 13. I had a wonderful home life. With that being said, though, when we were young and I was old enough to drive, I'd take my two brothers down to our little two-room country church, and my mom always thought, hey, we'll send Brad and the kids to the church for Sunday school, and that was enough God in our lives, you know, at that time. And we'd come home, and I got in the grade, and then all the sports and everything else. After a while, though, the alcohol was number one in my life, and before I knew it, my mom had enough, so I come home one day after school, garbage bags out in the yard, you know, we've had enough bread, yada, yada, yada. I met a woman who was a Christian. Her dad had helped build our church in my hometown, Abingdon, and I thought, you know what, I need something else in my life. And I seen that in her. I really did. So we got married and had two beautiful children and done the family life for 30-some years. Fast forward that, after a while, it wasn't good enough. I'll back up a little bit. I went through this program in Chicago about 20 years ago, close to it. And God put Pastor Randy in my life. And I've done, I was faithful and everything else. And before long, you know, I had everything. I stayed sober for about 8-9 years. A few years ago, right around the juggernaut at my church. You know, I sang, I praise and worship and everything else. I was doing what I believe God wanted me to do, and that's why I stayed sober, and my life is full of blessings. About 3 or 4 years ago, I kind of fell away from God. The devil entered my life again and took pretty much everything away but my life. And when you wake up in the mornings and the first thing you think about is drinking, it's all over for me. It was for me. Before long, I was living on my own. My wife divorced me and everything else. And to lose jobs and get voted out of your own company and everything else, it's kind of like our kid. I was passed out of couch. Mind you, I hadn't talked to my folks in 4 or 5 years. But all of a sudden, they found out where I lived. They come in, they said, Dad said, I talked to Brother Joe, and you're going to teach us. Because they knew that God was the only remedy for my situation. Trying to have a secular program in the world didn't work. But through Teen Challenge in Chicago, it did. So, and of course, Joe and Pastor Randy welcomed me back and everything else. And I wish I'd done it years ago, but it's that pride that gets in the way. I can win this. You know, I can do anything. And when I come and I met these guys and everything else a couple of months ago, it's kind of like, wow, this is really what I want. Because this is so much different than what Teen Challenge was 20 years ago. And to the grace of God, it's like any other program. We go one day at a time. I seek God one day at a time. I don't look to my future. I don't look for anything else. I just seek God one day at a time. And he's really blessed me. So it's an honor to be here today. I always say this scripture every time I talk because the old branch talk. So in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore he is in Christ Jesus. The old, his new creation. I truly believe that, his new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. So I praise the Lord for you folks, and thank you very much.
Of the Lord.
standing in on faith. Now, the Bible tells us one thing, and that is in this life we're going to experience long suffering. And just because you go to church, or just because you've been through a program, it's not a question of if a storm of life is going to hit you, it's a matter of when. And you have to have that foundation of Christ in order to get past it. Because that is the only way. That is the only way. So you have to stand firm in your faith in order to get through the trials. And, you know, being a product of this program, I learned that many times. But in the busyness of my life, sometimes I forget. And so I want to share this with you. You know, we all watch the news, how bad the pandemic is. We see the horrible pictures on TV. It's a very scary thing. And, you know, with these guys living all together, we work very hard to try and keep them safe. And there's no way that we could 100% mitigate the risk. There's just no way. But we try to be as diligent as possible. And on August 9th, COVID hit our center. And out of 31 people, staff and student alike, we had a 90% infection rate. Now, you can only imagine these guys coming in to change their lives and participate in one of the most difficult things. Then you want to pile this on top, right? If they had not learned to stand on their faith, I mean, out of reality, guys, how many of you wanted to duck your money? I mean, yeah. And Brother Ryan, miracle of God, I don't know how, he was one of the only ones that did not come up positive, but you know what his choice was? Not to quarantine. He wanted to be with his brothers. The first week, there was so much fear and anxiety because of everything that we've seen. And a whole lot of prayer, let me tell you. And I remember the Sunday morning that I got all the official results and just seeing the sheer number of guys that were affected. And I thought to myself, and I prayed, and I said, faith was all I had at this point. That was the only way we were going to get through it. And I got to thinking about this. And you know what God said? He said, we're going to have us a chicken pot party. You're all in. We're just going to get it over with, and we're going to get through it. And that's what happened. Because it would have been very difficult for half of them to get it, to try and sequester the other half. As this half got better, this half would continue to get it. It would have been really difficult. And that was what spoke to me that, you know what? I'm not in charge of this. He's in charge of this. And we're going to follow his direction, and we're going to trust in him to get us through it. So out of a 90% infection rate, and I have an individual in our building who has cerebral palsy and a heart issue. He did not show one symptom, but tested positive. So out of a 90% infection rate, 0% acute care, 0% hospitalization, 100% recovery. And that is all Jesus Christ. And it really took these guys to stand on their faith, to know that God had, you know, I shared that God is God of completion. He did not walk you through this door of King Challenge to change your life, to have something like this come in and step into me. So we just trust it. We just trust it. And what a faith builder that was, let me tell you. All right, I want to grab my next testimony with Brother Nathan.
Well, I'm Nathan, and I'm born in Lufkin, Texas. I moved up to the state of Illinois when I was younger, around 3 or 4 years old. I lived in a small town of 2 towns called Town Perry. And, you know, I was raised. Right. And I had a father time growing up, all everyone was being accepted and loved. And, you know, growing up poor, you considered as an outcast, a reject. So that's where I hung out with, outcasts and rejects. And, through that, through my childhood, when I forgot it, and, when I was 7 years old, I got baptized, and that's the fight that really started to come alive. I've always felt so long, dealt with injuries, and in the world, growing up, I still struggle, but, you know, God's getting through with His love and loving my brothers behind me. And God took me with God in with His holy love across. And then I got into the meth and bed and feel bad growing up. And that changed everything. I found new love, I was accepted. You know, and that's all that we want. But you know, God had a big plan in my life. And long story short, the Lord brought me through death. He brought me through abusive home, abusive relationships. I even put a breather twice. That was twice. Well, I put a breather right in front of my son. And the woman I was now, still. And, the devil tried to take me out because he knows that, we all have plenty of life, calling on our lives. And I just thank God for what He's doing and how He brought me to the challenge. Because I was doing everything I could to try to raise money to get here and sold my truck. They are spinning and smoking it up. And, I just want to basically brag on God. Through all my hardships and troubles of life, it was Him that held me. It was Him that kept us, me, my family, and my brothers together. It was Him that, when I died, in front of my kids for a few minutes or so. He didn't let God won't be able to knock this thing out. And I lived life of, like I said, being raised in church. I love the Lord. I sought God with all my heart. I mean, I saw it in the heart. But there was finish it up when you're here, but it's going to work. It's going to work. And that's all I have.
From the heart of Old Town. Yeah. My previous young God-fearing men behind me, I grew up in a wonderful home. I really did. I had everything. My brother and I, we had everything that we needed. Not everything we wanted, of course, but everything that we needed. My mother and father, I was blessed to see them yesterday. I always say this, my father graduated high school on Friday night in Canton. And Saturday morning, the next day, June 3rd, 1972, my mother and father were married. And they're still married today. So I knew what love was. I graduated high school, and I moved on to college, where I graduated from Western Illinois University in elementary education. I was awarded my first teaching job in a little town called Lewistown, not too far from here, where I taught 7th and 8th grade language arts. During my tenure, the state had stopped funding for smaller schools, and so I lost my job. For the first time in my life, I was absolutely devastated. I didn't know what to do. I went to school to be a teacher and a coach, and it was great. I was on top of the mountain. But as you know, nothing grows on top of the mountain. So that's when I gave him the temptation. Went to several drugs. And so for the past 12 years of my life, I have struggled with addiction. I've been in and out of sobriety. This is the first rehabilitation that I've ever been to. I got out of court one day, and I happened to be at the gas station in Lewistown. A parent, a former student of mine, knew my situation and asked me if I had ever heard of a place called Teen Challenge. Of course, I had not. But I was soon to find out. Through the grace of God, he made a phone call. That's where I met Mr. Joe Rogers. And they were going through the COVID. So he said, "You're going to have to give me a minute, but I'm going to get you in." And it was true to his word. So by the grace of God, I was able to enter the doors of Teen Challenge, where I, every week, I'm able to see my family. During my drug addiction, I lost my marriage. I lost my children. Teen Challenge has they've allowed me, in the grace of God, to see my children every week. I'm able to be the father that I should have always been, thanks to Teen Challenge, and thanks to the mercy and the grace of God. I couldn't do it without these guys behind me. We hold each other accountable. We're able to stay clean and sober every day. So, through the grace of God, Jeff and I have 317 states. The Lord your God is always with you. He will refresh your life through His mercy. Thank you.
so grateful to see how God works and continues to work in the lives of these men. So listen, as we close here, I just want to share with you, first off, how many of you believe in the transforming power of Jesus Christ?
Amen.
Amen. There's proof in the pudding right there. Right there. So listen, you know, I mentioned earlier that prayer is the biggest tool that we have in our toolbox. So the one thing I'm going to ask is that you continue to pray for it, continue to lift this up. This has been an unprecedented year for us. Moving into the new facility, pandemic hitting, we lost our part of our work program. We had to shut it down for a while. Church is closed. We lost that support. I don't know how many of you are familiar with our annual banquet, but we lost that this year as well. Then we had COVID at the center, and that shut us down for 3 weeks. So financially, it's been a difficult year. It's been the most difficult year since I've been doing this. And we're just trusting in God. We're just trusting in God. But this is the thing. You heard me mention this earlier in service. Many parts to the body. Many parts to the body. And a fine example was Brother Ron coming alongside of us. You know, without volunteer help like that, we never would have gotten that building done. It was a long journey, but praise God for men like that that came alongside of us. Because that's what it took. That's what it took. And, you know, moving forward, just to get through this year, we know that this pandemic's not going to stop us. We know that God has a plan. We know that there's a need. And we know that there's a need more than ever. More than ever. But that being said, this particular year, we need your help more than ever. More than ever. And I'll give you an example. There's a question I'll never answer when my time comes. And that is, why didn't you let so-and-so into this program because they did not have money? That's a question I will never answer. I believe 100% that if God has them knocking on our door, then He has a plan and provision to get them through. You know, we only charge $1,200 for an intake fee for those who can pay it. But real quick, show of hands. How many of you got in through the doors of Dean Jones with scholarship where we waited for feet? Raise your hand. So you see how significant that is. So we need your continued support. Currently, we had a couple here 2 weeks ago. They were gracious enough to come alongside of us with a $50,000 matching gift. That is a game changer for us for this year. So we are striving. We're looking to God. He's going to match that gift. And that is going to keep our nose above water and get us into 2021. We're looking forward to a whole new year of hope and faith and love and being able to serve God. We just got to get there. So, I ask you, if it's on your heart today, please come alongside us. You know, it would be fantastic as a collective, as a church, if you could cover that one $1,200 fee. That represents one student. And you heard their testimony, so I'll say this. That won't change life. That's not where it stops. It doesn't stop there. When a young man changes his life, he's going to go back to a community and he's going to lead a life of example, not just testifying from his mouth, but as an example to others on how to live, as an example to others struggling with addiction. They'll be a consumer. They'll be a taxpayer. But this is the most important thing for me, and I know you heard help you guys talk about their children. They will be that godly husband. They will be that godly father. And that will help change the generations to come. And if you remember the scripture we had up here, generations to generations. And that's how we're going to affect the world and bring more people to God. So I want to thank you so much, Pastor, and call you up at this time. Thank you for having us. God bless you. Thank you.
close us with a little song here, but I'm going to pray and ask God's blessing upon them, on the families, and upon people that will touch their lives. Lord, we know that you are in life-changing God. That you are a life-changing God. That you do not leave us where we're at. But you bring us where you want us to be. To be the men and women, boys and girls. That's who you want us to be. You are bringing the best out of us. And so we ask you to continue to bless this ministry, these guys here that are standing before us. In your precious name. Amen.
Thank you.
table I know, and